You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Talking about the possibility of a new stadium in Arlington Heights for over a year now. I remember Brian Hanley suggesting that on these airwaves that, hey, this thing's being discussed. This is a reality. And, you know, as the months have gone by, it looks more and more like a reality. Now they're in agreement to purchase the land. We'll see. It still takes like a year or two to get done. We'll see what happens. And we read you a story at the end of the show yesterday that Fran Spielman had in the Sun-Times that Alderman George Cardenas from the 12th Ward, that includes Bryant Park, McKinley Park, Little Village, was going today to pitch to the city council the idea of the city purchasing the Chicago Bears. It was something that surprised us, so we reached out to the alderman, and George Cardenas joins us now on the Corona Hotline on the Waddle and Sylvie Show. Alderman Cardenas, how are you today?
How are you guys?
We're doing what we
doing
hear.
Well.
Before we get down to brass tacks here, we hear you're a big Waddle fan. Did you grow up a
I'm a big Waddle fan. I thought Wanstead had it in for him. I don't know why.
Whoa!
The guy played phenomenal in 91-92, and all of a sudden, Wanstead comes in and demotes the guy. The guy was doing wonderful. Yeah, you know, I mean, he wasn't clocking 4-0, but no. My God, you got other talents, right? And he had phenomenal talents, phenomenal hands more than anything.
Wow. I think you and I just became best friends, Alderman. I think we did. Because I don't get that kind of respect
here in the studio on a consistent basis. I got to go back to those years. And, Nagy reminds me a lot of Wanstead, right? They come in, you know, sort of brash about things that they are going to do and promise the world. And then just, you know, sometimes it's just how they're out of their league. But, you know, just not to be a hater. I just think that this Bears in his history, it's so awesome. And you hate to be in this situation. Right? You hate to see a team like that struggle the way they have.
With that in mind, how did your proposal go over this afternoon?
Well, a lot of people are stretching their heads, to be honest with you, because it hasn't never been proposed. And I tell folks, look, how much have you really gotten into this particular, not just football, but soccer? I'm talking about like soccer, world soccer. You know, this stuff is global nowadays. Now we're putting gaming and sports books in some of these stadiums. And so the game has changed. You don't need a big stadium to make money. What you need is to view the game. You need a way to view the game. And I think that's what's going to be happening later on. Live in gaming, it's going to be a big. It's going to be a big thing. From Korea to Buenos Aires, all the way to Kazakhstan, if you will. But, you know, we got to think ahead. And I know that obviously people say, how are you going to be able to afford $4 billion? Well, first of all, I don't think they're worth $4 billion, okay, to begin with.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are.
We build a lot of skyscrapers in Chicago, and developers come in, and I always ask, you got $1 billion in your pocket? And I'm like, of course not. Nobody does. But I have an idea, and I'm going to pitch it to some other folks that have money, and we're going to make this thing work because I think I have a phenomenal idea. And that's how it starts, folks. I mean, you know, don't kick something just because it's untenable. You think it might be untenable. Yes, it's a lot of money. But this is a big, big business now. Look, the Bears have gone from a valuation of, I don't know, it was like $350 million. I think it's like 15 years ago. To $3-4 billion, and it's just unheard of. It's crazy. The game has changed, but we know why it hasn't changed. It's our payments that we got still going on, $432 million, and still on the clock to pay those bonds that we did to be able to refurbish Soldiers Field. So you know the money is not in the stadiums per se for those folks that they get to build them so that they can keep a team. We got to think beyond that. I'm like, why can't we own our own team? And I'm looking for the expansion of new teams, and I'm looking to see what happens with the LA Rams lawsuit to see what's going to be offered by the NFL. And by the way, we need to change the rules of the NFL. That's an archaic organization if I ever saw one.
Well, you got some grand plans. Alderman Cardenas joining us. I did see, though, that you tweeted that if the NFL does expand, so if the Bears were to move to Arlington Heights, the city would try to acquire another team. Is that what you're telling us here?
Why not? I mean, we would have a stadium with no team. Well, how would that look, right? And there's room for expansion. By the way, the Chicago had two teams. I believe the Cardinals were part of this region as well. There used to be two teams. I think we can fit two teams. I think so. But I like to keep the name Chicago Bears, to be honest with you. And I don't know how that's going to turn out, but I'm sure I'll leave it to the lawyers. We want to keep the history, just like the Seattle Supersonics. That they did a phenomenal job in saying, look, we're going to keep all the trophies. We're going to keep all the history of it to see when we get the next team here. And so they can own that, right? We need to do that. We need to kind of keep the continuity. The Bears, the fans, the Bears fans, they obviously deserve that.
Where is the money going to come from? You say that you're skeptical that it's valued at $4 billion. Where is the money going to come from to purchase this team?
Well, let me just say the variations. You always take a premium on something if you really want to buy it. But there's variations of financing schemes. I was just talking about how do you build skyscrapers. Yeah, you got to get folks in to buy in the idea. And you also want to push to be able to change some things within the NFL. I think cities ought to be able to take a shot of owning their teams if they can invest so much money into the public facilities.
But Alderman, if you're looking for an individual investor to come in and help purchase this, isn't that individual investor going to look to maximize his investment? And what if that individual investor decides the best way to maximize his money is to buy a team that actually is going to own their own stadium in a place like Arlington Heights, where it's going to have 80,000 seats and has access to a number of different revenue-producing streams?
Well, so does here. I just talked about gaming. I mean, here, the fans at Soldiers Field paid for a license, for a seat, a license. And I don't know what the hell that is, but you mean buying a ticket, you still got to pay some more? They did. They did pay some more. So there's real mechanisms to sort of raise the revenue. There's different arrangements that could be had. It's not impossible. All I want to say is let's sit down. Let's bring a couple of experts. There's obviously, I think only publicly traded companies that own teams, or a couple of them, which is a different scheme in terms of the NFL rules, if it allows it or not. But all I'm seeing is that, don't shut the door to this thing, because the city has just spent, like I said, $432 million, and all they're getting is adios, amigo, see you later. I'll pay whatever penalty I need to pay, which is nothing, really, to be honest with you. We get to pay the rest of the bonds, and that's unfair to taxpayers and unfair to the fans, to be honest with you. All I'm asking is that let's sit down and figure it out. I was talking to a couple of attorneys and also investors, and there's ways to do it that can follow within the guidelines of the NFL rules. And if we need to tweak some rules, why not? Let's open it up not just to billionaires. Let's open it up to folks, regular folks like you and me, to be able to own something that we love and care about.
George Cardenas joining us. He is the alderman from the 12th Ward. I'm a skeptic about this. And, like, I brought this up at 5:30 yesterday, Alderman, and I said, we're in the middle of a pandemic. The city has numerous budget issues. We have numerous crime issues. The city is short on money. We have driven over the same pothole day after day.
You know what you're saying to me, but here's the thing that people still talk about. How do we build the Bears a new stadium? You're right. Even though we have all these challenges, you're still asking, or somebody that's asking us, still pointing up some more. That's insane. I mean, people tell me it's an idiotic idea. No, the idiotic idea is for someone to believe that we can build a stadium and put some more money up for something that we don't own.
I would just say my skepticism comes from, with all these huge issues, life-changing issues, I feel like as a Chicago area resident and lived in this city for 20 years, that we're at a crossroads right now for our city, and isn't there bigger things to be focusing on rather than buying the Chicago Bears?
Well, listen, I think we ought to be talking, not just buying. I think you're simplifying it by saying buying the Chicago Bears. I think we're going to have an interest of keeping an asset in the city that people love, that people come to visit, and will have an economic impact on the city. So let's not just focus on buying this thing, because I think people kind of misread that, like somehow we have all this money in our pockets, and we don't. And we have our challenges, mind you. I agree with you. You know, we're going to build a casino here pretty soon, about a year and a half or so. We have the bids. Now, you know, we share in the revenue. We're not going to manage it. Someone's just going to manage that. We're going to put it in the hands of professionals, and we're going to get a huge result out of that. The same could be said for something else. Get an asset. At least we're investing in something, right, instead of paying down a liability that's for 30 years is not getting us anything except a goodbye from a team that we invested in, millions upon millions of dollars, taxpayers did. So that's all I'm saying. I'm like, wait a second. It's easy for just a team to pick up and say, you know, goodbye. I'm no longer happy here. I think I can do better someplace else. We've invested in this team. The city has invested in this team, and the fans have as well. All I'm saying is that, look, give us an opportunity to kind of find ways to keep the team. I love the team. I love the Bears. So does a lot of other people. But let's be creative. And if not, that's fine. But let's talk about how do we bring another team if this one leaves.
Alderman, how much revenue is brought in every year by 10 home games played? Do you have the numbers?
Nobody, you know, here's the thing. Nobody has the numbers, but I do. I was talking to some folks that are from the facilities, the Park District, and we generate more money when Wisconsin plays and Notre Dame plays here in the city than we do from the Bears games. I kid you not. So there's ways to make money. My whole point of this whole thing is that, you know, let's not fight over, you know, a team that we all love. Let's find a way to keep them here. And if not, then what is the alternative to that?
Well, what if they say no? What if you come to them with a bid and they say we're not interested? I mean, are you then thinking that you can take some sort of legal avenue to force them to sell?
What if they say, look, we want to stay, help us build a stadium, and you'll get some revenue sharing piece out of it. I'm interested in that. That's a way to keep them.
Is there a piece of property somewhere like south?
We have plenty of properties in the Corbin Place. I can think of one. There's plenty of land on the south end of near Soldier's Field. So there's property around to do what we need to do. But why negotiate something of just, you know, a freebie of giving away like we did for the last whatever how many decades? Not just this team, but other teams. No, let's. Be judicial about investing in stuff that's going to have a return on that investment for the taxpayers of the city.
Alderman Cardenas, before we let you go, if this doesn't go well and the Bears do move to Arlington Heights and you guys do recruit another team from the NFL, would you allow Waddle and I into the council chambers to discuss our plan for building a floating stadium?
Listen, you guys are welcome anytime, especially Tom Waddle. What a great guy. You know, great hands. We need those hands here.
They're going to be expensive. I'm old. They're going to be expensive. Yeah.
You're going to have to pay for those.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay for those. Yeah.
Alderman, thank you for your time.
Pay. Thank you so much,
we
guys.
We appreciate your time.
Love the conversation.
There you go. There's George Cardenas, the alderman from the 12th
Very
Ward.
Very affable guy. Nice guy.
Super good guy.
It's not a feasible plan.
I have heard some ideas over the 15 years of this show, and this one is... Oh boy.
Don't you think the Bears also, by agreeing to refurbish the stadium years ago, they limited what their actual capacity to maximize the return on their own investment of their team? And they don't want to do that anymore.
All right, let's reflect on that. If you want to weigh into George Cardenas, an alderman, he works for the city. This is the people who are running the city.
He said that he got some strange looks, right, today? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. We'll talk about it next.
From the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, this is WMVP WSHE-HD2 Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
You know, it is so good to effort in Jeff Van Gundy, one of the great national voices on ESPN's coverage of the NBA. And want to talk to him not about LeBron, not about the Nets, not about the Warriors.
Or ask him how bad is our Bulls team.
Right. That we could actually talk to him about, hey, are the Bulls legit? And I think you said it best the other day. You looked at me and you said, I bet you this is a team that Jeff Van Gundy can appreciate.
Oh, this is a Van Gundy team.
Let's talk to him right now. Former head coach, of course, you see him on ESPN and ABC, friend of the show, Jeff Van Gundy, joining us on the Corona Hotline right now. How have you been, Jeff?
Doing well, guys. How's everything?
We're doing well. Better, Coach. Yeah, things are good these days.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I really appreciate what the Bulls did. They went against conventional thinking, and it's paid off for them. You know, they were under criticism for signing DeMar DeRozan, who right now would probably be in the top five votes for MVP. And I give Arturas Karnišević and Billy Donovan so much credit for what they did in the offseason to reshape a floundering team, really.
Jeff, are you surprised how quickly they've all learned how to play efficiently with one another?
Well, I'm not even sure they have, because when you look at Vucevic, he hasn't even played well yet.
Right.
I don't think. Right? So, like, that they were able to take the injury to Patrick Williams and then take the COVID protocols with Vucevic, their two starting front court players, and now sort of mix and match, it says so much to how well their perimeter has played. And that's DeRozan, LaVine, Caruso, Ball. You know, they've all done a really good job, as have, you know, what they did around those guys, around their best players. They put in hard-playing dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, they are a hard-playing team right now.
That's why we thought you would appreciate them. You know, there are teams that don't want to play the regular season. There are teams who especially don't want to play November regular season games. Like, this team is playing defense. This team is accepting roles. It's like perfect for you, perfect. It's like a Tibbs-like team.
Well, it's perfect for anybody that wants to win, right? Right. So they have two elite scorers. When Vucevic gets in a groove, he's going to – I mean, that's a hard threesome to match up with. And then Ball, he doesn't penetrate, but he shoots the three often and a lot better over the last 2 years. And so that's a good compliment. He's not taking away a lot of possessions. Caruso just does everything it takes to try to win that game, you know, that night. And they're getting good enough play from everybody else where, you know, they're not going, you know, in a bad direction when they sub. I'll tell you what, DeRozan and LaVine, they have played excellent basketball. And to come back and win in a back-to-back in L.A., and as NBA people, you know that, you know, the trepidation you go to L.A. with, that if you win one, that night may not end until that morning, which may impact that night, you know, the next night's game. What they were able to do was not being satisfied with, you know, one win by getting both, I thought was not just a great sign for their basketball, how they play, but how much they care about the result.
All right. Are they a true NBA contender?
We'll see. I think, you know, anointing someone or dismissing someone at this time of the year is dangerous. Last year, no one would have said Phoenix is a championship contender, right? And what did they do? They were two ways away from winning it all. So I would never say Chicago couldn't do it. No. Do they have work to do? Absolutely. Does Vucevic have to play better? Do they maybe still have to upgrade their roster before the trade deadline or in the buyout market? Yeah, but I could see someone wanting to go there now.
Yeah.
You know, for so many years, they couldn't quite convince people to want to come there or the guys they really wanted. And so why wouldn't you want to play with a really good team, an unselfish roster, and a team that seems to enjoy each other?
Jeff, I think they've caught some teams kind of flat-footed. I don't think teams recognized how good they were going to be, how hard they were going to play, and how good defensively that they would be early on. How would you prepare for this team if you were a coach seeing them for the second time?
Well, you make some valid points, and that's why you hold off anointing them. But if you have real sustained intensity, I would always say teams, there's no scouting report for relentless. There just isn't. You know, you can wear on people. They may be ready to start the game, but if you're truly relentless as a player or as a team, you're going to give yourself a good chance to win every single night, particularly when you have DeRozan who can go get a shot, even though it's, you know, that analytics dreaded mid-range that he makes seemingly every time. That is truly a good shot. And then you have LaVine who can make something out of nothing. I mean, truly, some of these shots he's able to create and make look easy are really, really special. And to think that you can have a good defensive team, I don't think anybody would have said that with DeRozan and LaVine as your starting wings, that you could be a good defensive team. But if you try and you're smart in this league, you can be adequate defensively.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Just if you try, that you actually have to state that. Jeff Van Gundy is joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You mentioned the DeRozan stuff and the analytics stuff, and we love analytics. We love them as tools to utilize. Waddle and I have sort of comped DeRozan in baseball to Rod Carew or Tony Gwynn. Like, no, if you would look at that profile today, he doesn't hit enough home runs. You know, everyone likes the strikeout home run guys, you know, the on-base guys, not the single hitters. Not like to us, DeRozan is so good, what you mentioned, at what he does, that who the hell cares how he's skinning the cat as long as he gets the job done.
Well, exactly. And I'll always make the argument. In basketball, I think there are regular season analytics and there's postseason analytics. And I think they differ. And I think for not every mid-range shot is created equal. Kevin Durant takes a mid-range shot, it's a great shot. DeMar DeRozan takes a mid-range shot, it's a great shot. Lonzo Ball takes a mid-range shot, it's not a good shot most times. So it's just, you know, it's not the same. You can't just say mid-range. And it's the same in baseball. You know, all those home runs or strikeouts, like, that may seem good over 162, but in a short playoff series, it's about scoring runs. And I think you can get lost in this, that the most important thing in basketball is having different ways to score. Because against the best defensive teams in a playoff series, you just can't have one weapon or one tool. You have to have multiple weapons and be able to score at all spots on the court. And I think what DeRozan does is he gives them something they know late in games and late in shot clocks. DeMar DeRozan can create a good shot. And, I mean, the guy is just, he's an impressive, impressive offensive scorer. And quietly over the last couple years, he has really improved as a passer, both his willingness and his efficiency.
Jeff, what about LaVine? He's a guy that has improved his game year after year. Is the ceiling still, you know, he's still trying to get there? How much better can he get? And can ultimately he be one of these guys that we look at and say, that's definitely a number one player in the league?
Well, I think what hurts guys like LaVine is that even though they put up these, you know, great numbers, they haven't won. I read something this year, and I don't know if it's true, so you guys can correct me, that he had never won four straight games in the NBA. And I'm like, nah, I can't be right. But it, you know, this was in an article I read, so I'll trust it.
Yeah.
But my point is, you'll always, players don't realize, your accomplishments individually will always be diminished if they're for a losing team. And so LaVine has gotten better and better on offense. I mean, he's a great, great scorer. But now he's doing it in a winning situation, and you're viewed completely differently. And I think it's earned. I think he's passing, like DeRozan, better. And I think he's more conscious defensively and of its importance. And if you see it as important and you want to win, getting back to trying, you'll try, and you'll try to be in the right spot. Will he ever be a great individual defender? Probably not. But can he be more than adequate? Absolutely. And unfortunately, as you guys saw in Chicago, young teams are rarely good on defense. And as they get more veterans in there, their defensive IQ is shot up dramatically with Ball, with Caruso. And so I think, you know, I just like watching them play.
Yeah. Who's better? The 2010-11 Bulls took us by surprise with Derek as the MVP, with Tibbs as a first-year head coach. You knew that team very well. You lived it with us. Or this team?
I would say that team. I mean, you look back to that team. They were near championship level that year. I mean, what, they win 62 that year or 60?
60, I think, yeah. Something like that. 62.
They went to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost, you know, to a great Miami team. I mean, they were a great team. And obviously Rose, you know, was at such a different level, and they had so many complementary pieces that played well. Noah and Dang, a revolving set of twos. You know, like they had size. They were really good. This team isn't nearly as deep. That team was exceptionally deep. This one isn't as deep, but DeRozan and LaVine as wing scorers, I mean, that's dynamic there.
Yeah. Totally agree. On a separate note, we had John right at the beginning of The Last Dance, and none of this I could have imagined would develop. Are you as surprised as we are that Scottie Pippen is much to be upset about, or that he is this upset with Michael Jordan in that documentary?
Well, is he truly upset, or is he just trying to sell a book? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know his mindset, so it would be really hard for me to try to evaluate. And I think he made a good point. Like, the one point he made was, I don't think they won because Jordan yelled at players, right? They won because Jordan is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen, along with, you know, Jabbar and James, right? I mean, like, he was that good, and he was driven every single night. So I'm sure all the accolades going to him probably irked some, you know, some Bulls. And you've heard Horace Grant say some things in the past. You know, like, I'm sure they wish they would have gotten more of the, you know, accolades. And so it's hard to know if he's really upset or if this is a publicity tour to try to sell books. You know, for me, I think if no matter who wrote the book, and Pippen, I don't want to diminish how good he was. I mean, he was an excellent player. I mean, and a great compliment to Jordan in that he was a terrific passer. He is the best wing disruptor, not on the ball, but off the ball. Great anticipation, great intelligence. I thought had great emotional intelligence and was a terrific compliment to Jordan's, you know, fiery demeanor. He was a encourager in the mold of Steve Nash, Tim Duncan. So, this guy was an excellent, excellent player. And I still think his autobiography, his book should be Thank You, Michael. That should be the title.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get pissed at you next, Jeff. You watch out.
You just made the list.
I'm just saying, I think he was a great player. I think he was an excellent player. Like, I really, and his year after when Jordan went to baseball, that season, the next season, Pippen could have been the MVP. He played that well. And they played that well. But I just think, like, you know, you can, everybody can get carried away with intangibles and slights and all this. And you can forget about just how great Jordan was. And I was just saying this. I'm doing a game in Phoenix tonight, and so I was sitting with Mark Jackson. And I said this to him, and I don't know if he agreed with me tonight or not, but I've read some of the other Bulls comments through the years, and some have been, like, just lauded Jordan. Others, like Pippen, have, you know, seemed to be a little bit irritated. But when you're on the other side, you almost viewed him in a greater light than some of his teammates. And that, I, that strikes me as odd, because no one who had to go against him ever said, like, yeah, he was, you know, he was this or that. All we used to say is, like, this guy is, his greatness is every night. And to beat that greatness, you had to have a superior effort. So I am a little surprised. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't watch The Last Dance. You know, I lived it, so I didn't have to watch it. You know, so I already knew the outcome. they whipped our butts. So, but I, you know, like, I think Luke Longley was a little upset because he didn't get invited to speak. I don't know. It just seems a little bit, I don't know, to you guys, it seems a little bit odd.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, they're irritated with Jordan.
The honest thing was, and you were at the game. I mean, the 1.8 second incident, Scotty says he would do it again, and he blames Phil for not calling the play for him. And even on Dan Patrick said that it was because Phil was racist.
Can I address that, like, sure, real quick? I know you guys are up against it, but, like, trying to explain a selfish act, saying you would repeat the selfish act again, is confounding. It really is. And let's not forget, by him going to Kukoc, it worked.
They won. Right. Yes.
Right? So we were about to sweep. Like, if we won that game, we're going to sweep them, because they're going to be broken because Pippen's, you know, sort of at that point abandoned his team. And Pippen wasn't that type of player anyway. He wasn't a catch and shoot like player. Like, that wasn't his game. Like, he was a great inbounder on those plays. So for him to take offense to me that Phil Jackson slighted him, no, it's a team game. And you're trying to, and he was an unselfish player. So why would you take offense that Phil Jackson decided to go somewhere else with the ball? That doesn't make every coach's decision, you know, right or correct, but it certainly wasn't a slight. Phil Jackson, you know, and you never accused me of being in the fan club, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he was great in those situations. And I don't know about you guys, I wasn't, obviously, I don't know the inner workings, but he probably is the furthest thing. I would think maybe many others might have been accused of racism in coaching before Phil Jackson. I was stunned that he threw that accusation out there.
Jeff, great stuff. We'll be watching tonight. Appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, take care.
Fascinating stuff on the Pippen stuff. Let's talk about that. And the mayor has addressed the Bears situation. This has gone to council chambers, Waddle, after the interview. So we will discuss what the mayor said about the Bears. It's coming up next.